Praise God. Good morning.
Good
morning. How are you today?
Good.
Won't you please stand up with me, all the long-time people? So glad you're here. I want to read Psalm 150. Sure, it's a psalm that many of you know well. Psalm 150 says, "Praise God in His holy place. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His immense greatness. Praise Him with sounds from horns. Praise Him with harps and lyres. Praise Him with tambourines and dancing." Say dancing. Everybody say dancing. Everybody say praise Him with dancing. It says praise Him with the stringed instruments and the flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the crashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. We've come to give God praise today, haven't we? I says, haven't we? And notice that verse says, praise Him with the dancing. I want to encourage you to be free, to be bold, to dance before the Lord. One of the songs we're going to sing today is called Dance. And when we get to it, don't just sing, dance, 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 but actually do it. Move your feet a little bit. Give God praise. Lord, we praise You this morning. We come before You to give You glory, to give You honor, for You are great. You are mighty. You are an awesome God. There's no God like our God, Lord. There's no one who delivers like our God. Lord, we thank You that You take care of us. You provide for us. You deliver us. You guide us. You protect us. Lord, every good thing in our life is from You. Because every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we give You praise for every good thing. We give You praise for who You are today. We've come into this place to praise our God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a big kind of praise and a shout. Hallelujah.
I'm passing you. His own power. That Your name every knee will bow and every tongue declare that Jesus, You are Lord. And we declare it today, Jesus, You Lord, in this place, You Lord, in our life. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. We welcome You into this place. Lord, I ask You that You would touch every person, touch every heart, touch every life. Let us be changed from glory to glory. Let us become a little bit more like Jesus every day and every week as we're in Your presence. Lord, thank You today for touching people's hearts. Holy Spirit, we give You liberty, we welcome You. Have Your way here today, Holy Spirit. Touch people supernaturally. Lord, let Your healing power flow in this place. And I take authority over every sickness and over every disease and over every infirmity. And I command sickness that You would go in the name of Jesus, and I release the healing power of Lord Jesus Christ to flow through your body right now, driving out all sickness and all disease. Thank You for restoring people's health. Thank You for setting people free today, Lord, from addictions, from bondages, from depression. Thank You, Lord, for setting people free. I take authority over every bondage, every addiction in Jesus' name. And I break Your power and I set You free from that. You strengthen us today. You fill us anew with Your peace. That Your joy bubbles up on the inside of us, Lord, like a bubbling river, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Lord, we give You praise. We are glad to be in Your house and to be in Your presence. And we just thank You that You are good and that every good thing in our life comes from You. We acknowledge, Lord, everything. Thank You, Lord, for every good thing in our life. We give You praise. We give You honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, shout out, amen.
Praise God, it's my
my niece Kirsty. It's her birthday today, 25 today. Happy birthday. Brother James is her twin. He's not here today. I don't wish you happy birthday. I wish you happy birthday. I give you a birthday present. Take you to birthday lunch. And then on a sad note for us, and that is that this week one of our precious members, Suret Kankul, she passed. She passed on. What happened is, you know, it's so funny because just a couple of weeks ago I was talking to her at the door. Just 2 weeks ago I was talking to her at the door. And she's a young lady. She was one of our children's church teachers. She volunteered in children's ministry. And this past week she had a stroke. And she went into hospital and we went to pray for her. Several people from our church went to pray for her, just like other people. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do anything, and they eventually took her off. They had on life support. They took her off life support, and she went home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Now, it's sad for us, because when someone passes, we lose. But they don't, not if they're a believer. The Bible says, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When you're a believer, when you die, it's not a tragedy. It's actually what we all are looking forward to. Right? Now, it is sad, the fact that she has two young children, and so that is sad, and we pray for her family. The funeral will be this coming Saturday. I'm doing the funeral this coming Saturday, and you're welcome if you'd like to come and join and attend. We can send out a text with the address where the funeral's going to be, but I do know it's on Saturday, right? And you know, Billy Graham passed away this week as well. And I posted something on my social media, a quote that he said years ago. He said, if you ever hear that Billy Graham is dead, he said, don't believe him. He said, someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. And you know that for a believer, when we die physically, that's not the end of us. We change our address. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. So one day we're going to leave this body, and we are going to be with the Lord. When you leave this body and you're a believer, you serve Jesus, when you die, you wake up, you're in heaven. And it's amazing. And you never, people that are beat to heaven, and sometimes the Lord sent them back, like Ian McCormick, most times they don't want to come back. You wouldn't want to come back. So we are praying for Suret's family, because that's the tough part, but she's rejoicing. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Now I'll tell you this right now, you never know. Tomorrow is not guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right? People tell me, well, I'll come to church, you know, next month, or I'll serve God, I'll accept Jesus next week. You don't know what will happen next week. The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the time. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, do it now. Amen?
Amen.
Well, praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to have a great time this morning. Did you bring your Bible with you this morning? Anyone bring their Bible to church? Did you bring something to take notes, write notes down? This morning I want to speak to you about sleep on. And that may seem like a strange thing to preach about in church, because you may say, well, I do that every Sunday. I'll sleep on. Not in this church, right? What do I mean, sleep on? What does that mean? Well, you know, it's very easy to live frustrated because someone is not doing what we want them to do. Or maybe discouraged
because of a disappointment, or maybe upset because a dream that we have hasn't come to pass yet. But here's what I've learned. God does not remove every frustration in your life. God doesn't change every person that you don't like. God doesn't take away everything that is bothering you. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I love the Passion Translation, because the Passion Translation is amazing. It says, "Surrender your anxiety, be silent, stop your striving, and you will see that I'm God." In other words, if you want to see God move and demonstrate in your life, you have to be still. You have to not be anxious. You have to be silent. You have to trust Him. Then you will see that He is God. So this is implying, if we're not still, if we're upset or anxious or frustrated or worried, then we're not going to see and know that He is God. Right? And most of the times that I'm frustrated is because I'm trying to change things that only God can change. I'm trying to be like God and fix things that I cannot control. How many of you know you can't make somebody do what is right? Right? You can't make yourself be well. If you're trying to control everything, you're going to be frustrated. You have to turn it over to God, do what you can, but then let Him take care of the rest. Amen? I'm telling you, life is too short to live it frustrated and anxious and worried because we're not getting our way, or because, you know, something unfair has happened to us. Listen, God would not have allowed that if it was going to keep you from your purpose. It is a test. You've got to realize these things come to test us, to test our faith. Are you going to let it steal your joy? Are you going to let it steal your faith? Live all worried and stressed out? Or are you going to be still and know that He is God? You see, if God's not changing it, you have to be mature enough to say, "Lord, I don't like this, but I know that if You've allowed it, then until You change it, I'm going to just be still and I'm going to stay in peace and I'm going to enjoy my life and I'm going to trust that You will work this out for me." Amen? Listen, the real victory is not when God does everything you want. God removes all your frustrations. The real victory is when those things happen, but it doesn't bother you anymore. You're at peace. You know God is still in control. Are you with me? In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus was about to be betrayed. He was about to go to the cross. And He went with His disciples to a garden called Gethsemane. And in Matthew 26 verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus brought them to a garden grove, Gethsemane, and He told them to sit down and wait while He went ahead to pray. And He took with Him Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John," Peter, James, and John, "and He began to be filled with anguish and despair. And He told them, 'My soul is crushed with horror and sadness to the point of death. Stay here, stay awake with me.' Jesus was so troubled and so overwhelmed, He asked His disciples to stay awake and pray with Him. Jesus knew what was coming. And He said, 'Stay with me and pray with me.' And imagine in verse 39, it says, 'He went forward a little and He fell face on the ground and He prayed, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken away from me, but I want Your will, not mine. Nevertheless, let Your will be done and not mine will be done.' And then He returned to the three disciples and He found them asleep. 'Peter,' He said, 'couldn't you even stay awake with me for 1 hour?'" Now, Jesus is facing the greatest challenge of His life. How many of you agree with that? Yes. Greatest challenge of His life. And He really wanted His disciples to pray with Him. He needed their encouragement. He was kind of frustrated. They fell asleep, so he asked them again, even more emphatically. In verse 41, it says, Jesus said to them, "Keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you, for the spirit indeed is willing, but how weak the body is." In prayer, it strengthens you. So Jesus went away again by himself to pray, and he thought, for sure, this time they got the message. So he came back a little while later to check on them. It says he returned to them again, and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So he went back to pray the third time, saying the same things again, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." You can imagine how disappointed Jesus was. And he turned around and went to go pray some more. But then he thought to himself, "I'm going to go back and check on them one last time. This third time, I know they'll be praying. I mean, after all that I've done for them, I know they'll be standing in faith with me." He went back to check the third time, but they were still sleeping. This time he didn't even try to wake them up. He didn't even try and get them to be for him. He looked at them and he said to them in verse 45, "Sleep on now." Jesus came to a point where he didn't let it bother him anymore. He could have kept trying to wake them up, trying to make it happen, being frustrated, but instead he accepted that he wasn't going to have this. He accepted it wasn't going to work out the way he wanted it to. He didn't fight it. He didn't let it frustrate him anymore. He just said, "Sleep on," and he moved forward. Do you not listen to me? There are times in your life when things don't work out the way we want them to. And the people that we are counting on, they weren't there for us. The medical report wasn't good. The dream isn't happening on our timetable. It's easy to live frustrated because things are not going the way you want them to. You did the right thing. You stayed in faith, but it's not working out. You have to do what Jesus did. You've got to tell the disappointment. You've got to tell the delay. You've got to tell the frustration. Sleep on. You're not bothering me anymore. I know God is still on the throne. I know God is fighting my battles. I know that God will get me to where I'm supposed to be. I know that He's my vindicator. I know that He's my helper. I know that He's my provider. There may be some things in your life you need to tell them, sleep on. That person you've been trying to change, no matter how hard you try, they won't do what you want to do. It's time to say, sleep on. You've got to realize you cannot control people. You cannot make people do what is right. What I'm talking about is living your life in peace. Pray for them. Be respectful to them. But don't go the next 30 years letting them frustrate you. Two simple words can change your life. Sleep on. Jesus wanted his disciples' support. I mean, he deserved it. He'd been good to them. But do you know, sometimes God will pull back people's support on purpose. Because he knows that if they were there all the time, you'd become dependent on them. See, the biggest thing I want you to get today, God wants you to be dependent on him alone. If they were there all the time, you'd think they are your source. They are your savior. But listen, you don't need everyone that you think you need. Let me tell you, God has already lined up the right people to come into your life to help you to reach your destiny. The right people. You don't have to play up to them. You don't have to try to manipulate them. You don't have to try to convince them to be for you. Convince them to stay awake and pray. They'll be there for you through the thick and the thin. They'll, let me tell you, they will show up even when you didn't ask. They will encourage you when nobody else is around. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be frustrated by people that are never going to be for us. Sometimes we're spending so much energy trying to win over these people. It doesn't matter how good you are to them. Every time we need them, they're asleep. They're busy. They're not interested. I've heard it said, to be good to someone that wouldn't walk across a puddle to be good to you. And I'm all in favor of overcoming evil with good. I'm all in favor of blessing our enemies. But Jesus said this in Matthew 7:6. He said, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearl before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and tear you in pieces. And the New Living Translation says it like this. It says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearl to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. Your pearl is your gift. Your personality, your anointing. It's who God made you to be. And some people won't value your pearl. They won't recognize your gift. They won't recognize what you have to offer. The calling, the favor of God on your life. And let me tell you, your time is too valuable to waste it with people that discount your pearl. Don't hang around people that try to lessen you. You feel like you have to prove to them who you are. You have to prove to them why they should be your friend. Listen, you don't need their approval. Let me tell you something. You already have Almighty God's approval. He's the one who breathed His life into you. He crowned you with favor. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Hang around people that celebrate your pearl. People that polish your pearl. People that respect your pearl. Because too often, we're trying to drag someone along, trying to convince someone to like us, trying to convince them to stay away. Do yourself a favor, tell them, sleep on. Because if you'll let go of the wrong people, God will bring the right people. Some of us, the reason we don't have the right people in our life is we're hanging on to the wrong people. Don't say amen, because I'm preaching good today. Let me tell you, God will send you divine connections. People that are for you. And not what you can do for them, but they're for you. People who will inspire you to go further. People that will bring out the best in you. People that will cause your pearl to shine. Amen. See, Jesus was wise enough to recognize that the disciples could not stop God's plan for His life. See, He said, come, pray. I really would like you to pray with Him. Can you imagine, you know what you're about to face? And these are your people, your disciples. You've given your life for them. Come pray with me. And they fall asleep. But you see, their lack of support couldn't keep Him from doing what His Father had called Him to do. Now, they were good people. Don't misunderstand me. The disciples loved the Lord. But sometimes there are good people that won't be there for you. Because it's a test. Are you going to get frustrated and keep trying to wake them up? Keep trying to get them to support you? Or are you going to recognize it's a new season and say, sleep on? Because here's the key. If they didn't wake up, you don't need them for the season. Amen. If they're not giving you what they used to give you, that means God is taking you to a higher level. God is weaning you off of the support and the encouragement. It's you growing. It's like a little baby. How many of you know little babies love their bottle? Or their passing? Makes them comfortable. Makes them feel secure. And that's fine, as long as they're 1 or 2 years old. But if they're 45 years old and they're walking around with their bottle and their baby, how many of you know that's a problem? But as parents, when we take the bottle away from our children, how many of you know they don't like it? They're uncomfortable. But we do it because we don't want to limit their growth. And sometimes God will make you uncomfortable. He'll take away something you were used to. A friend that always called and encouraged you. Or a co-worker that was always there to help you with the report. Or a neighbor that you could always count on to go somewhere together. It's because God is weaning you off the bottle, so to speak. Because as long as you're dependent on people, it will limit how high you can go. When God removes the support, but He takes away the person that you were used to, don't get mad at them. Don't keep trying to wake them up. What's wrong with you? No, God put them to sleep
you can't open a door that God has already closed.
Right.
And that friend is not there anymore. The disappointment, you may not like it, it may be painful, but it is ordained by God. You've got to recognize it's a sign. You're coming up higher. That discomfort means you're going to a new level in your life. God is stretching you. And let me tell you, everyone that's with you now may not be with you where you're going. Some people are like scaffolding. They come into your life for just a season to help you reach a certain level. But at some point, God's going to remove the scaffolding so you can shine. It's not that they're not good people, but their part in your story is over. God is taking you to a higher level.
Amen.
See, you, what I'm saying to you today is quit being frustrated by somebody that's not supporting you like they used to. Well, why don't they call me anymore? Steve, I don't understand it. Why don't they compliment me anymore? The right attitude is, I love you, I respect you, but I don't have to have your support and your compliments and your encouragement. You can just sleep on because I'm trusting in God. I'm being still and I know that He is God and He'll get me where I need to be. Are you with me?
Yes.
We spend too much time trying to get people's approval, trying to get people to validate us. Then we can feel good about ourselves. I mean, that's pretty much what social media and Facebook is all about. How many likes did I get? How many people commented on it? I mean, I'm convinced more and more. I'm sure there are good purposes for Facebook, but most of the time I think it can steal so much of your time. I was reading the other day, it's interesting, the guy that invented the like button for Facebook, the man who invented it, won't go on Facebook and he won't get his kids going it. He says it's a waste of time. It's a scheme, listen to me. You've got to be careful. Social media is a scheme to suck your time. That's for free today. No extra charge. It wasn't in my notes. Sorry to those watching on Facebook Live. Now that's a good purpose of your time. That's a good purpose of your time. Would you agree with that? The problem, when you try and get validation from people, how many of you found people can change their mind? One moment they were cheering for Jesus. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, they shouted, "Blessed! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They took palm branches and they laid them on the ground. As he came into Jerusalem, a few days later, those same people that shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," those same people were shouting, "Away with him, crucify him, we have no other king but Caesar." Same people. I found the same people that were shouting my praises. Sometimes they turn around and they, "Crucify him." People have a short memory. People can go to sleep. And if you're getting your value based on what people give you or how much people compliment you, and for some reason, if they stop doing that, you'll forget who you are. Because your self-worth is coming from them. We've got to quit relying on people and we've got to go to God. We've got to realize we don't need their approval. We have God's approval. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, we speak as messengers approved by God. Approved by God. To be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. The Message Bible says it like this. Be assured that when we speak to you, we're not after crowd approval, only God approval. Galatians 1 verse 10 says, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. If you're wanting to please people, forget about serving the Lord. Because let me tell you, very often what God is telling you to do, people won't approve of it. Galatians 4:17 says this. Those heretical teachers, that how you say it? Heretical teachers go to great lengths to flatter you.
but their motives are rotten. They want to shut you out of the free world of God's grace so that you will always depend on them for approval and direction, making them feel important. Listen, please don't depend on me. Don't put your faith in me. I'm here to direct you to Jesus. He'll never let you go. He's always faithful. He's always good. Amen? You must depend upon God's approval, not people's approval. Jesus said in John 5, verse 41, your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. That's pretty. Jesus said, your approval or disapproval doesn't mean anything to me. Why? John 6, 27. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval.
Amen.
Amen.
Luke 6, 26. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others. He said, you live for the approval of others, there's trouble ahead. Don't live for people's approval, live for God's approval. There's only one person that really matters to me to approve me, and that's the Lord. Because let me tell you, when God is for you, he doesn't matter who's against you. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we have an enemy, that we're in a spiritual warfare. It tells us to put on the armor of God if we want to be victorious over the enemy. And it lists all of the armor of God, the belt of truth, the gospel shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. And most translations say put on the breastplate of righteousness. But the Living Bible, I like the way the Living Bible says it. It says it in Ephesians 6 verse 14 from the Living Bible. Put on, it said, but to do this you will need the breastplate of God's approval. You see, if you're going to be victorious against the enemy's attacks against you, you've got to put on God's approval. That's one of our weapons. You've got to put on the breastplate. God approves of me. That means I can live secure. I can live in peace. Because if God approves of me, who else's approval do I need? Hello?
Yes.
See, in life, we all go through Gethsemane. We all have disappointments. We all have things that we don't understand. Gethsemane is a lonely place. Gethsemane is a dark place. But I've learned that God gives us grace for every Gethsemane. He gives us grace for every unfair situation.
Yeah.
It's so freeing when you can look at the people who've left. You can look at the disappointments and say, sleep on. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to change God's plan and direction for my life. Amazing things are up ahead. Let me tell you, if you don't give up in Gethsemane, yes, there will be crosses to bear. There will be betrayals. There will be setbacks. There will be disappointments. But let me encourage you today, because if you will keep moving forward, there will be resurrections. There will be new beginnings. There will be times God pays you back for what was unfair. There will be times God catapults you years ahead. Don't get stuck in Gethsemane. Don't let the sickness cause you to become bitter. You don't understand it. It's not fair. You can say, God, why? This doesn't make sense. Not fair. Or you can look at that frustration, that discouragement, that fear, and you can just say to it, sleep on. I'm not going through this day discouraged or defeated. I may be in Gethsemane, but I know a resurrection is coming my way. You see, Gethsemane doesn't have to stop you. God wouldn't have allowed it if it wasn't going to somehow move you towards your purpose. Are you with me? Like Jesus didn't have to have the disciples pray for him in order for him to rise from the dead and fulfill God's plan to bring us salvation. He wanted them to pray for him, but he didn't have to have it. The next time that co-worker is rude to you, instead of being upset, just smile and say, sleep on. They won't know what you're talking about. That's okay. When that car cuts you off in traffic, instead of saying what you normally say, try a new approach. Sleep on. You're not approving of their behavior. You're not enabling them. You're simply saying, your actions are not going to control my life. This traffic is not going to ruin my morning. this setback is not going to sour the rest of my future. Maybe you need to tell your past, sleep on. Maybe you had a tough childhood. Maybe you went through a rough divorce. Maybe you lost a loved one in your life. You've got to tell the hurts, tell the questions, tell the failures, sleep on. I've learned you're either feeding your history or you're feeding your destiny, but you can't feed both. You're either looking back, living in regrets, thinking of everything that went wrong, or you're looking ahead, saying, God, I know that what was meant for my harm, you're turning to my advantage. I know that you've given me beauty for ashes. I know weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, if you're always feeding your history, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to live in self-pity. You're going to be guilty. You're going to be angry. You've got to do yourself a favor and tell your history, sleep on. You cannot go forward if you're always looking backwards. You can't see the new things on the horizon if you're focused on what's behind. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he said, I'm still not all that I should be. I'm still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul said, I put all my effort and energy into one thing. I forget the past and I move forward to what's ahead. Well, there's some things Paul needed to forget in his past. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Paul was there when they stoned Stephen to death. Paul was there stirring the crowd, holding their cup. Paul had Christians thrown in jail. He was responsible for people being jailed and murdered. He said, one thing I do, I forget the past. I'm pressing forward. You see, you've got to stop feeding your history and start feeding your destiny. Father, I thank you that your plans for me are for good. I thank you that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. I thank you that you hold victory in store for the upright. You see, if you get your mind going in the right direction, your life will go in the right direction. You've got to stop feeding and focusing on your history and start feeding and focusing on your destiny. Because if you feed your history long enough, it'll pull you into depression. And the enemy would love to keep you so focused on all the hurts and all what didn't work out that you're too discouraged to move forward. Don't fall into that trap, family. You wouldn't be alive, you wouldn't be here today if God didn't have something amazing up in front of you. Let me tell you, God's plans for your life are not over. God's purpose for your life is not over. Doesn't matter what disappointment you might have had. Family, you may be in Gethsemane. You may be in a place of discouragement and a place of frustration. But if you will say, sleep on, and if you will move forward, and if you will be still, and if you will know that He is God, I want to tell you, you are headed for a resurrection. You are headed for a new beginning. A friend of mine was flying in a private jet. It's a small plane, only holds about 10 or 12 people. And as it took off, he wanted to open his tray table so he could take some notes down. And he was getting ready to preach at a certain place. And so the table was on the side of the plane, right underneath the window. Was where the tray table pulled out. And he pulled on it, and he pulled on it, and he pulled on it. And it wouldn't open. He didn't understand it because his friend was sitting across the aisle in a seat on the other side, and he just pulled his tray table right out. And so his friend came over and started helping him, yanking on his tray. And he said, I'm going to get this table over. It's the last thing that I'll do. I'm going to get this. I don't understand it. It was stuck. And my friend was getting kind of frustrated. And then he looked up and he saw a sign right above the window. Big sign that said, this is not a trade table, an emergency exit only. Listen to me. Sometimes the things that you are frustrated about is God keeping you from real frustration. Because how many of you know, it might have been frustrating, couldn't get his table out, but it would be much more frustrating if the emergency exit on. Then he'd be doing a curse, he's skydiving down. Let me tell you, if God answered all of our prayers and opened every door we asked Him to open, if He brought every person that we begged Him to bring, we wouldn't reach our destiny. Let me tell you, the longer I live, the easier it is for me to say, sleep on. I may not understand it. It may not make much sense to me. But I've learned God is smarter than I am. He can see things that I cannot see. He knows what He's doing. I wonder if what is frustrating you has an emergency exit only sign on it, but you can't see it. You don't understand why God won't answer the prayer. You don't understand why the dream is taking so long. Why that guy at work, you like him so much, he hasn't even noticed you. You wore your best outfit, your best clothes, your best perfume. You've given him all your best moves. He acts like he's dead. Maybe it's because God can see something that you can't see. Maybe under his shirt, there's an emergency exit sign that's hidden from you. God has your best interests at heart. If God's not giving you what you want, that means He has something better. He loves you too much for you to miss your destiny. Amen. Amen. I mean, you know how much I love Joel Osteen, and our church is part of the Champion of Hope Network. And I listen to Joel probably more than anybody else. I find that his messages build my faith and inspire my hope. And he was telling how when he took over from his dad, he took over the church, when his dad passed away, the church really exploded. I mean, it was just amazing. They needed a large auditorium. The auditorium they were in at the time was big. It was 8,000 seats. But the church just exploded. So they found a 100-acre tract of land that was right near their previous location, the 8,000 seater, and was just a few miles away. It was on the freeway. I mean, it seemed perfect. And the owner told them that it had been up for sale for over 20 years. And he said, they knew God saved this property for us. For 20 years it's been for sale. And the owner said, you don't have to sign the contract right now. I mean, it's been on the market for 20 years, you know. And he said they could do some preliminary drawings and they could take some soil samples and while the paperwork was all getting worked out. So a few months later, they went to close on the property. They had an 8 a.m. appointment. They got there at 7:45. The secretary walked out and said, I'm so sorry. The owner sold the property last night. Joel said he couldn't believe it. The owner didn't keep his word. Joel was so disappointed. He went home. He told his wife, Victoria, what happened. He said, there's no more property. What are we going to do now? Now we're stuck. She looked at him. She said, Joel, this means God's got something better. He closed this door for a reason. She started preaching one of his own sermons to him. Preachers don't like it when you preach their sermons to them. Especially the wives. Not in this place. What was she saying? She was saying, Joel, sleep on. But he was saying, no, wake up, this is bad, wake up. Joel had to do what I'm asking you to do today. He said, God, I don't understand it. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't make sense. But Lord, I trust you. I believe you know what is best for us. Amen. A few months later, they found another property. Even better than the first one. They went to close on it. Same thing happened. Sold it out from under them. Listen, if you don't pass the test the first time, you get to take it again. Yeah. This time, Joel learned. He said, God, I'm so glad they sold that property. I didn't want it in the first place. That wasn't really true. The Lord knew he was lying, but it felt good. 6 months later, a friend called him up, said, Joel, the Houston Rockets basketball team is moving out of the Compaq Center. That would be a perfect place for Lakewood Church. When his friend said that, he said it was like something came alive on the inside. He knew now, then he realized why God closed those other doors. Because he had something bigger and he had something better. Joel never dreamed. He said, I never dreamed we'd have a Compaq Center. I mean, he used to go watch the Houston Rockets play basketball there when he was young. Things just fell into place. 2005, Lakewood Church moved into the Compaq Center, which is downtown Houston. Now, when I heard that story, it really encouraged me. Because we lost our building in a foreclosure on Center Street in 2016. We tried everything we could to try. I tried everything I could to try and work out a deal with the bank. Pastor Theo, who's the Pastor Theo's the apostle over all the Christian family churches around the world. There's 850 Christian family churches around the world. And Pastor Theo said, I told the president of the bank, Pastor Theo will fly with me. We want to come meet with you in Texas. Pastor Theo is willing to sign a surety for us. He's willing to put himself on the line. But the bank wasn't interested. They weren't interested in me. And then, when I was in South Africa in October 2015, I got a call from Rodney Howard Brown. Anyone know who Rodney Howard Brown is?
Yeah.
Rodney Howard Brown called me, and he said, his church has their mortgage with the same bank that we had our mortgage. And he told me the bank called him and offered to sell him our old building on Center Street for $2 million when we owed them $3.2 million. Our building had dropped in value. You see, I knew that because I had it appraised. That's why I was trying to work with the bank to tell them, listen, the building's not worth $3.2 million. It's worth $2 million now. I'm trying to modify the loan. Rodney Howard Brown said, I'd like to help you, Steve. I want to help you keep that building. And he said, what about if we buy the building, you pay the mortgage, and then a couple of years you can refinance it, or if you pay it off, we'll change it over into your name. I want to help you. And so I thought, this is God. This is the Lord. So when Rodney went to sign the papers, he discovered that the bank had taken away a credit that they had earned $1 million credit when they refinanced. I don't know how they renegotiated. The bank gave them this big $1 million credit. But when they went to buy our building, when they said it was $2 million, they just went, we're going to have to do something about it. Just turn me off, I'll switch over, because that is very annoying. Switch over. We've got to fix that. All right, so when Rodney went to sign the property, they saw they'd removed this $1 million credit, and he was so upset. He was so angry when he called me. He couldn't believe the bank had done this. And it was another door that had closed. Now, I came to a point where I had to say, sleep on. I put my trust in God. My friends had tried to help me, but they couldn't. And I believe God would make a way where there didn't seem to be a way. I believe that God had something better. And I even declared at church, if you can remember, as we were getting ready to move out of the old building, I told them, listen, we're going to get a better building. And it's going to be in a better location. And it's going to have, our mortgage payment is going to be half what it is right now. Our mortgage payment was $27,000 a month. And I said, our new mortgage is going to be half that. It's going to be a better building. It's going to be a better location. I said, the Lord is taking what was meant for our home, and he's turning it to our advantage. Does anyone remember me declaring that? A few months later, out of the blue, we get a call from Joe Siegel. Offers to sell us his building on Indian Town Road. Now, our other building was on Center Street. It was kind of a side road. Indian Town is the main road. I mean, I'd rather be on Indian Town for our church. A lot more traffic on Indian Town, right? We didn't need a mortgage because the owner, Joe Siegel, said, I'll pay for it, I'm going to finance it. He said, I just want you to pay the interest, not the principal. So our mortgage payment is $12,500 instead of $27,000. It's less than all. Come on, give God thanks and praise for that. What am I saying? I'm saying the things that you're tempted to be frustrated about today, if you will stay in faith, if you will keep trusting God, one day you'll look back. And like me, you'll say, wow, God, you outdid yourself. I never dreamed I'd meet somebody this great. I never dreamed I'd feel this healthy. I never dreamed you'd take me this far in my life. God's plan for your life is much bigger than your plan for your life. The real question, here's the real question, is what will you do in Gethsemane when it's not working out your way? When your friends are not there for you?
when the contract doesn't go through, when the medical report is not good, listen, too many people, the reason they don't see their resurrection is because they get bitter in Gethsemane. God, why did they fall asleep? I can't count on anybody. Why did they set it out from under us? Why did we lose our building? Gethsemane is the real test.
Yeah.
You see, we like it when everything's going great.
Yeah.
But that's not when you grow the most. Do you know Gethsemane is where you can be promoted? God sees what you're made of. He sees if you're ready. If you'll stay in peace and if you'll stay in faith, if you'll be still and know that He is God, then He will take you into your resurrection. And the way you know you're ready to be promoted is not because God removed all your difficulties, but you don't let them frustrate you anymore. Are you listening to me today?
Yeah.
You've learned this principle. Two simple words. Sleep on. Maybe these two words can help you get your joy back.
Yeah.
Maybe these two words can help you sleep through the night.
Yeah.
Maybe these two words can help you bring you peace. I read about one lady, she was complaining. Everything went wrong for her that day. She said, God, why did you let so many bad things happen today? My alarm didn't go off. I was late for work. At lunch, they made the wrong sandwich. I had to send it back. Driving home, my cell phone dropped the call in the middle of the conversation to drop it off. When I got home, I went and put my feet in the foot massage chair. It wouldn't turn on. God said, all right, let me go down the list. Your alarm didn't go off because there was a drunk driver on the road. I delayed you on purpose so you wouldn't be harmed. You said you had to send your sandwich back. Because the first person who made it wasn't feeling well, and I didn't want you to catch what they had, so I had someone else make a new one. The cell phone dropped the call because the person was about to fill you with gossip, and I didn't want you to be contaminated. And the foot massager had a short in it, and if you turned it on, you would have been electrocuted. Could it be that what is frustrating you is really the hand of God, because He's behind the scenes doing things that you cannot see and maybe you cannot understand? But it's for your good. God's protecting you. God's guiding you. God's possessing you. Nothing happens without His permission. See, we're not always going to understand it. That's when you've got to trust Him. You might be in Gethsemane today. You might have a good reason to be upset, to be anxious, to be frustrated, to be worried. But I'm asking you to do what Jesus did. Tell that frustration. Tell the past. Tell the disappointment. Sleep on. It may not be fair, but God sees what's happening. God has me in the palm of His hand. God is breathing in my direction. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Don't give up in Gethsemane. You are close to your breakthrough. You are close to that new level. If you will pass this test, family, I believe in the name of Jesus, you're going to come out of that Gethsemane. And you're going to come into your resurrection. And you're going to see promotion. And you're going to see healing. And you're going to see restoration. And you're going to see vindication. And you're going to see miracles take place. God's going to turn that frustration into favor. You're going to rise higher. And you're going to accomplish more. And you're going to become everything that God has destined and called you to be. If you will learn to be still and just surrender that anxiety, cast all your cares on the Lord and trust Him to work it out. Trust Him to provide. Trust Him to bring that dream to pass. Trust Him to guide you. Put your trust in the Lord. Don't let things people do or don't do frustrate you. Be still and know He is God. Can you say amen this morning? Come on, give Him praise, Lord. Lord, we just thank You today. We thank You that we can trust You. No matter how it looks, we can put our faith in You because You are faithful. Your word says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging for bread. Lord, I thank You that Your plans for us are for good. And I thank You, Lord, that if You are for us, that it doesn't matter who's against us.
Right.
If You're on our side, it doesn't matter who's not on our side.
Yeah.
We thank You that we can trust You. We thank You, Father, In the name of Jesus, that you hold victory in store for the upright. We thank you, Lord, that you're guiding us in the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. We thank you for your favor that is around us, that brings promotion, favor, blessing, breakthrough. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, say sleep on. Sleep on. You'll learn to tell them that situation that's frustrating you, sleep on. That person is not there for you, sleep on. I'm putting my trust in the Lord alone. Amen.
Yeah.
Get something out of this morning.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the things I'm sharing with you. It's really part of my journey with this building. I mean, I really believe that if I hadn't kept my eyes on the Lord and kept my trust in Him, I don't believe we would have got that phone call from Josie. I don't believe we would have. But thank God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And even with the, I mean, we had the, just between us here, just here. There. But, you know, the building we're buying has an association that covers the property, because there's a number of buildings, and this, the condo association, they cover the certain areas, the lawns, the gardens, the roofs, different things. And we pay a monthly fee to them. And we have to get their approval in order for the sale to go through. We have to get their approval. And Joe Siegel is on this board. And they were really giving us a hard time. I think I mentioned that to you before. They were giving us a hard time. They didn't want us to have service past 1 p.m. on a Sunday. I'm not committing to not have church after 1 p.m. We may do a Sunday night service. We will do a Sunday night service. And they didn't want us to have all the 5 staff members, and they didn't want us to have a drug rehabilitation account, all these different things. And this is just dragged on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I could have got frustrated about it, but I just know what? I've learned to trust in the timing of God. So this week we got all the papers that we needed, finally. This has been going back and forth between 3 different attorneys. We eventually got the approval, and so this week we will be closing, because we have all the approvals we need. We'll be closing the building, and then we wanted to wait to close before we started any renovation. But we got the approval from the city to renovate. We got the approval from the council to close. It's all happening right now. And I believe that if I had not just said, Lord, I trust you, and not voice those frustrations, I don't know if this would be happening for us today. So whatever it is that you face, maybe that person that's not there for you, and you would like them to be, or maybe that contract didn't go through, or this didn't happen, or whatever, listen, keep your eyes on the Lord. Be still and know that He is God, and He has a good plan for your life. And if you will seek first the kingdom of God, the Bible says all these other things will be given to you, will be added to you. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Just bow your head for a moment. Father, I pray. Lord, I pray for every person in here this morning. Because I don't know everything that they may be facing, but you do. And I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that they're facing, whatever it is that I'm facing, you are God. There's nothing too difficult for you. There's nothing impossible for you. And I thank you, Lord, that faith rises up in every heart. And I thank you that hope floods every soul this morning. And I thank you that we go out of here with a new strength and with a new determination, that we will not allow anything that's happening around us to frustrate us, but we will recognize that door closed and you closed it, that means you've got something better. If that situation didn't work out, we know, Lord, you've got someone better. You've got something better. We trust in you in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed and heart, you have your eyes closed. Before we continue and close the service in a few minutes, I want to pray especially
I always like to pray for anyone who's here and you are not sure where you stand with God. You're not sure if all is right and all is well between you and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. The question is, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Would you have to be honest? And Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died tonight, if you died today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every sin, every mistake you committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to show. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're seated right now, while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to know. I want God's blessing on my life. I want the Lord to be with me and for me. Pray for me. If that's you right now, quickly, just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in that prayer this morning. Just put it up high. Say, pray for me. The Bible says in Romans 10, in verse number 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many of you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Wave your hand at me. How many of you confessed him as Lord in your life? How many of you know you are saved? Amen? Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Preach myself happy today. It happens often. It happens every week. You know who gets the most out of this service? Me. Because I'm the one, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. That comes by hearing, right? Amen. Praise God. Is that you? That was my dream. Well, praise the Lord. Now's the time when we're going to honor the Lord with our giving, bringing our tithes into God's house. Amen. The scripture says in Malachi, chapter 3, if you can just display that, it says, I am the Lord all powerful, and I challenge you. Put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse, so there will be food in my house. Now, the Bible says, if you read the whole passage, the Bible says that God spoke to these people, and he said, you've been cursed with a curse. You're cursed. You're not being blessed because you've been robbing from me. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Then give you food in my house. And then I will open the windows of heaven. And I will pour blessing out on you. Somebody asked me recently, are you listening to me today?
Yes.
Anyone here that facing a financial challenge? Anyone? Anyone got a financial challenge? Will they listen more than that? Someone asked me, let's see, I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? I'm struggling financially. Would you pray for me? Yes, I will pray for you. But praying is not the answer to your financial struggle. The answer to your financial struggle is to be obedient to God. Isaiah 1 verse 19 tells us this. Go ahead and put it on the screen. If you are willing and obedient, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. Say, if I am willing to obey God, I'll eat the best. Do you know God wants the best for you? Say, God wants the best for me. Do you know God says, if you are willing to obey me, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. God wants the best for you. But it'll never happen if you're not obedient to him. I can pray for you every Sunday. I can lay hands on you until I wear all the hair off your head. It's not going to change anything. Because if you disobey, if that says if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land, what's the reverse of that? What's the reverse? If I'm not willing, and if I'm not obedient, I will not eat the best of the land. If you
want to eat the best, if you want, in other words, if you want God's best for your life, God has blessings that He wants to release into your life. Listen, I'm talking to some people here today. I'm speaking about the Spirit of God to you today. Because when I woke up this morning and I was shaving, the Lord put the scripture in my heart. And He said, there are people in the church that are struggling because they will not obey me. They will not obey me. And they want me to pray for some kind of miracle. Here's your miracle right here. Step out in faith and start obeying what God tells you to do.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means right now, you should be writing a check for 10% of everything you've got this week. You dance when you see the blessings come. I'm dancing about that building, man. I am dancing about the building. I tell people about it. They almost look at me like in disbelief. I tell preachers about it. They almost look at me, preachers, in disbelief. It's a miracle. No money down. No bank approval. All this against us. Foreclosure. All kinds of stuff. God, if God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Could lose it by not paying attention to what I'm telling you now. If you're willing and obedient, you leave the good alone. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. I can look back on my life. I started tithing when I was 17 years old. My very first job. We put our kids to tithe on their allowance. And they all give us a tithe today. I started tithing at 17 and I can honestly tell you, Jim and I was just talking about it the other day. A young teenage boy and a young teenage girl from Edenville. God has taken us places we never dreamed. We've lived the life of such blessing. We never imagined. And it all began when I was 17 years old. My first job, $400 a month. I started tithing $40. And God has done more than I honestly could have asked or did. God wants the best for you. I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you. Let me tell you, offering time is an exciting time of the service, man. It's exciting. That's it. Am I excited to give? You bet I am. Am I excited to tithe? You bet I am. You know what? I know the blessings it brings. I know the blessings it brings in my life. Right, Carol? Correct. How long have you been a tither? You need a calculator? 70 years. You have been tithing into the kingdom of God. Do you know the rewards that are waiting right now? Do you have any idea the rewards? Because every dime you've given, God has recorded every dime, every penny. And He's given you laid up treasures. 70 years of giving into the kingdom of God. What a legacy. Amen. Come on, give Carol a round of applause. 70 years. Has the Lord been good to you? He's been good to you. Look at you. You'll never believe if I told you your age. I promise I'd never say it again publicly. I'm never going to say it. You never believe me if I told you. But the things Carol does is around the world and bruises and God's blessed you. And I want to tell you right now, if you're willing and obedient, you need the best of the way. I want you to get your time. I want you to hold that envelope in your hand right now. I'm asking you to do whatever God's telling you to do. Because some of you, the Lord's telling you, I want you to give to that new building. We trust in God for about $120,000 to do all the renovations. Now we've already, it's amazing what the Lord's done already. Everything's, every dime we've needed has been there.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
See, the way it goes with trusting God, it's not like we've got this huge, big bank account. It's like, it's a step of faith. When you need it, it's there. When you need it, it's there. That's what faith is. A And we trust in God for about $120,000 to do all the renovations that we need. And the Lord, let me tell you, God is going to talk to you about what He wants you to do. And I'm asking you, just be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do. I'm not here to tell you what to do. Be obedient to what God is saying in your heart. Amen. Various ways of giving out church. Give by cash, check, or credit card using the envelope. You can give online. You can give by text giving. Various ways. So I want you to hold it in your hand. We're going to pray before the ushers receive the offering. Is everyone ready to give this morning?
Yes.
Anyone believe in giving here today?
Yes.
Any joyful givers today?
Yes.
Any happy, hilarious givers today? Hold this. Say, Lord, I thank you. You are faithful. And I thank you, Lord, that you want me to eat the best of the land. You want the best for me. You've got a great plan for my life, Lord. And all you're asking is that I would trust you and that I would be obedient. So, Lord, I willingly obey by giving, by tithing. I thank you for your blessings in my life. Every good thing in my life has come from you. And I thank you that you meet all my needs. I thank you, Lord, that you open the windows of heaven over my life. Thank you for pouring blessings upon me, pouring favor upon me, supernaturally opening doors for me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I give willingly, obediently, generously, cheerfully, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Are you ready, ushers? Credential, great, thank you. Is everyone ready this morning?
Yes.
Anyone still writing? It takes a while to write 1,000. T-H-O-U-N. Go ahead. Praise God. Come on up. I want to...
Let me just say one thing. Stacy texts me and she's saying, you know, we have a number of people in our church that get together and pray before the service, pray in the week for the service. And she said the Lord brought this to her this morning. He said, I'm calling you to a higher place. Will you come? Until you let your past die and will not let your future live. Sounds like what the Holy Spirit was saying to us, right? I love that. Also, just to mention that those of you who had a prophecy from Ed Trump, you weren't able to get the CD last week. They'll be ready for you outside here after service, so come and get it. And today is lunch club at Thai Lotus across the road. And it's very reasonable, it's delicious,
right.
And it's a great time of fellowship. So come and have some lunch. About a half an hour after. We start making our way out, but it's about a half an hour before we get over there.
I mean, that's bad.
Last week when we were praying, it was quite remarkable because Angela's not here and she tells me that she doesn't have visions. But as we were praying, she saw a sun rising. And so that was good. And so we knew that it stopped rising. It didn't go anymore. And she said, Pam, I also see that people are camped in a green place. They're happy there, but they don't understand that we're supposed to ascend to a higher place. We're supposed to go to a higher mountain. Those who have clean sand and pure heart can ascend my holy mountain. So as we went after Stacy, many things were spoken in that prayer room. And she took an axe to the root of everything that is keeping people stuck in their past. Then Angela started to see the sun rise more. It never got to its zenith, which tells us there's more that we need to do in there to bring here to help everyone understand we are not to stay camped there. We have to let go of the past, the resentments, all of those things, because we are stepping into the new. And we will ascend, but we don't want to leave anyone behind. Because we're going.
Amen. Amen. And then, what I'm preaching about, they already heard it in prayer before the service. It says, that's like a confirmation for me that I'm on the right track. We're on the right track. God's got good things ahead. Tell your neighbor, God's got good things ahead of you. God's got a good plan for you. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being here today. I hope you'll join us at the lunch club. Come have lunch with us if you can, right across the street. I want to thank all of those who served in God's house today. Thank you to our children's church helpers and teachers. Thank you to our media, our musicians, our singers, our setup team, our breakdown team, our ushers, our greeters. Thank you, everyone who's served. Give them a big round of applause. We appreciate it so much. Amen. God bless you. Tell your neighbor. See you next week. See you next week. Bring someone with you.